Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55 plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get 2 phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet relying on 2 lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
8:16 now, joined by Keith Conley, Kenner Police Chief. Good morning, Chief. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Boy, you know, this urban exploring, I take issue with that because it's criminal trespass is what it is, but somehow it's been rebranded for social media.
Yeah, it's kind of concerning. We've had an issue since I got elected back in 2022. We've had over 100 incidents at the mall and involving about 70 arrests for everything from burglary to criminal trespassing. But, you know, these influencers get on social media and these platforms and they make it almost like a gaming atmosphere, and they're challenging, you know, these watchers to go and actually commit a crime, and then they want to post it up on social media. It's monetized. It's clickbait. So it's a whole other industry. But, you know, we've been concerned about the safety of these people and the safety of our officers that have to go in and check them all for trespassers or for burglars. You know, it puts them in danger's way. And, of course, we had that incident Saturday that, God forbid, you know, our heart goes out to that family. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a real problem across the country. And certainly we have our issue in Kenner with the Esplanade Mall.
I understand how they make money at this, Chief. And I know this is not, you know, why you're here to talk about that. But how in the world do they make money? How do they monetize this?
From what I understand, it's metered by whatever platform they're on, YouTube, Google, things of that nature. And when they hit a certain level, it's incentivized for, you know, draw people to that page by advertisement or product placement or things of that nature. I'm with you. I'm 63 years old. This whole tech stuff has passed me by, and I'm too old to try to learn it. But I'm getting force-fed a lot of tech stuff.
Yeah, you did this commercial where they talk about the kids being their parents. One, you know, they flipped the script a little bit, and now they got the people trying to understand what a social media influencer is and why I'm watching you open a box. Why am I doing this? Why am I watching you open a box? Why am I watching you watch a video? I don't get it either. But either way, it's criminal trespassing. What kind of fines are you looking at? What kind of penalties are you looking at if you get caught inside the Esplanade Mall or criminally trespassing anywhere?
Well, it's a felony now because it comes under the simple burglary statute. So you could be doing a hard time. You know, it's prison time is part of the penalty. But I'm sure that if they're first-time offenders, given the circumstances, they could be looking at a hefty fine, as well as they could be responsible for any kind of damage that's done inside the mall because they're doing a lot more than exploring. There's so much damage inside that mall, products strewn all over the place, graffitied. It's just an attractive nuisance to this. And look, you got to put some blame on the property owners as well. Because they have done nothing really to secure that building. They just recently hired a security company that makes passes through there, and they've been very good, and they've worked with us very well. But, between the actual criminals that are trespassing under the guise of an expiration and a property owner, we're going to try to hold their feet to the fire. We have them coming to court
at the end of August to try to get an abatement schedule and work with them. But if that doesn't work, I'm going to file for injunctive relief with the mayor and the council and get this problem put aside, because this is, you know, especially given the tragic death of that young man from Bell Chase, nobody wants a family to have to go through that. So, you know, we're going to pull out all the stops.
And I certainly don't want to encourage anybody, and you don't have to mention a location, but are there other locations besides that that you've had a problem with in Kenner?
That's our biggest problem in Kenner as far as blight. It's the biggest stain on the city of Kenner right now is that mall and the neglect. You know, we're dealing with an out-of-state owner. You know, it's hard to get their attention, but, you know, we're going to ring that bell. We're going to hold them up on charges. But that's our only issue in Kenner. You know, we'd like to revitalize that whole area. But and look, I get the public gets impatient. They think the city should be doing something. But it's a fine line when you're dealing with people's private property and their rights and, you know, how you go about, you know, abating that. So, you know, we're walking that fine line, but we're going to be a lot more aggressive.
And, Chief, there's a practical consideration as well, because when you have to dispatch officers to deal with that, that's other things that they can't tend to, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's a resource. That's a huge amount of area for them to sweep and to cover when we get complaints that people see people going into the mall. There's broken glass. There's faulty mechanical systems. Just as what happened in New Orleans could happen to one of my officers. And, you know, it's a pretty big fall from the second level of that food court area. So, you know, I don't like my officers being put in that danger.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
At California Closets, we design for the little things. Take this moment of a parent walking across their toy-filled living room for a glass of water. And now, the California Closets version of that moment. Family room and home storage solutions by designers who get you. California Closets. More room for what matters.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grunes. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST. At GRUNS.CO.
As well as they should be out patrolling the streets, you know, responding to citizen complaints and being proactive. So it's bad all around for law enforcement.
It'd be different if it was just their own actions affecting themselves, but it affects others as well. Thank you, Chief. I appreciate your time. Keith Conley, Kenner Police Chief. We'll take a break, come back, talk about the other side of this, maybe becoming a CASA advocate and keeping people from doing this kind of thing. Right now, 821 Traffic, WWL. 827, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by our friend Margaret Ether, the advocate recruiter for CASA Jefferson. How you doing, Margaret?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you, Mr. Tommy?
I am okay, and I appreciate the work you do. Tell people what a court-appointed special advocate is and why you need them and how they can volunteer, please.
Okay, good morning, everyone. As you said, I'm Margaret Ether, the CASA Jefferson Advocate Recruiter. We, CASAs are court-appointed special advocates. We make a difference in children's lives. CASAs help children to understand that whatever problem it is, it's not their fault. A volunteer has to be 21 years or older. You make sure that all of a child's basic needs are being met while in foster care. You don't put children in your car. You don't bring them to your house. You don't take care of them. You're the eyes, ears, and voice for that child, as I said, has been removed from their families and are now in foster care. We need your help. We have a class starting September 21st. I need you to look inside yourselves and look and say, what is my purpose? Volunteering to help a child is very meaningful. It gives you a sense of, I've done something while I'm on this side. So I'm asking, and Tommy, I love WWL. Thank y'all so much for allowing me this opportunity to ask you out there, please look inside your heart to volunteer at CASA Jefferson. We need you to help us with our children. I have 20-plus children on my waiting list. It's school time. We need to make a positive impact on our children so that we'll have decent young people coming up in our society.
What age group are you talking about here, Margaret, when you talk about the kids that are in need of CASAs?
The kids who are in need of volunteers are from zero births, young babies, to 17 years old. They age out at 17, but they still need somebody to give them some directions.
And well, I think it's important that you say you don't put them in your car. Explain that, what you mean by that. What exactly are you going to be doing as a CASA?
A volunteer makes one or two phone calls per week. You make one, maybe two home visits per month. You have to make sure that all of that child's basic needs are being met while in foster care. You visit the child at the foster home. We have an eight-chapter class that starts in September. You're trained, your boundaries, what you can and cannot do. We help you to understand the process of helping children who are in need of your directions, because somebody made a difference in your life. Because if they wouldn't, you wouldn't own a business, you wouldn't have decent jobs, you wouldn't be where you are today. So why can't some of you out there who are listening help us make a difference in our children's lives?
And what time and time commitment are you looking at, Margaret?
We're looking at two-year commitment. Now, a case may last 2 years. It may last less than that because you're trained to have court observation. You learn the process of being a court-appointed special advocate. It's through the courts. The court tells us who they need to help us, help them help our children. So you become legal. There are documents to sign. We do a complete background check. We got to make sure that all of the people, persons who want to help our children, don't put our children back into harm's way. Listening audience, I need your help. Please volunteer. Call me at 504-533-8757. I'm Margaret Wilson Ether, advocate recruiter for CASA Jefferson.
The number again, Margaret?
533-8757.
And is there a website people can go to?
Our website is www.casajefferson.org. And as I said, I'm the advocate recruiter for CASA Jefferson. Wow. Thank you all so much.
Thank you, Margaret. And look, it might not be for you, but you don't know until you try. So at least go through
That's
the process
right.
and see.
It's not for everybody. You got it, Tommy. And I'm still waiting on you, Tommy.
I know. I'm trying to find some time. I do, Margaret, really, because I think that's one of the things, rather than just sit back and complain, it's the kind of thing where you can actually get involved and make a difference in society, like you're saying, while you're on this side. Thank you so much. We'll take
you
a break.
Got it. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Have a good day.
You too. 8:31, time for WWL First News. You know, it's tragic whenever a 8:47. I'm Tommy Tucker. It's tragic whenever a young person loses their life, but when you're in an abandoned building, fooling around and doing something you shouldn't be doing, it's especially troubling. But why is the Plaza Tower in the condition that it's in, and why has it been for so long? Allie Bustamante joins us now, professor in the Department of Economics and Finance at LSU New Orleans. Good morning, professor. How are you?
Good morning. Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Why does it take so long? First of all, how much of an outlier is the Plaza Tower? Are there a lot of office buildings in New Orleans or buildings in New Orleans that are in that condition?
Yeah, it's actually a case of a larger challenge facing New Orleans and a lot of cities throughout the country. It's basically a question of how do we redevelop older properties when we know that construction, insurance, and financing costs have really risen faster than the actual rents or whether it's residential or office rents that you can actually collect at the local level. And this is something that it's really representative of a longer issue that we've been facing for several years now.
So it's easy to say go ahead and redevelop it, make it a new office building. But first of all, it's going to cost a lot of money. And secondly, you got to make sure that you got tenants to fill it. For the life of me, Professor, and you study this, the building we're in right now, I can't even begin to understand the financing of that or how that works, given the cost of maintaining the building, of operating it with the tenants that are in here. I don't know what we pay for rent. I have no earthly idea. But I just know they have vacant floors, and I don't know how they make that equation work. How difficult is it to have a big office building and have it run profitably?
It's extremely difficult, and it's actually a challenge that we've been experiencing for about 30 years now. When you actually look at downtown New Orleans, the CBD, it's basically gone from roughly 70 office buildings to about 23 buildings. When we look at the square footage, we've actually lost about 40% of the square footage of office buildings in New Orleans since about the 1990s. And so, you know, when you actually fast forward to what the market looks like right now, you know, the market's about 80% occupied. So it really tells us about, you know, there's just been a diminishing demand for office space over the past several years, and it's still going on today.
Is that a national trend or is that unique to us?
It's actually a national trend, and this is actually why, you know, if you look at the CBD, so much of that office space has really been redeveloped into hotels, into, you know, into apartments. It's really a way that you can ultimately make the math work, basically moving away from office space.
Is that the trend for the future?
It really is. And, you know, in terms of just, you know, the Plaza Tower, you know, the proposal that was thrown out is about, you know, $250 million redevelopment costs for about 300 residential units. Mm-hmm. But this is the other part that's difficult to kind of square up, which is that comes out to about $800,000 of building costs per unit. And there's just not a lot of folks in New Orleans who can really afford to not just pay those project costs, but really, you know, the cost of closing on these kinds of properties.
So is it a fool's errand to try to redevelop that?
Well, you know, the idea is really, you know, whether the city has to have a big question in front of them, which is, you know, do they actually help close this gap to make the financing work? You know, and the question is, you know, will this redevelopment ultimately produce enough housing, tax base, and surrounding investment to really, you know, justify the public contribution? But outside of a public contribution, it's just really hard to make the math square up and redevelop this property.
Let me take a quick break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Ali Bustamante, professor in the Department of Economics and Finance at LSU New Orleans, about real estate and downtown office buildings and Plaza Tower, why it's been abandoned for years, and why is redevelopment so difficult. Let's take a look at traffic now, WWL. 8:57, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Ali Bustamante, professor in the Department of Economics and Finance at my alma mater, LSU New Orleans. We're talking about office space and the Plaza Tower and redevelopment. Somebody texted in and wanted to know if cities like Nashville and Houston have their own respective Plaza Towers.
Well, you know, it hasn't actually, not, I wouldn't say a Plaza Tower per se, because, we, you know, Plaza Tower is a really unique place in terms of New Orleans, which is, you know, we're talking about 45 stories. It's a massive building. It's in the heart of downtown. I mean, it was a flagship building for the city for decades. It was built in the late 1960s. Nashville doesn't have anything like that, but they do have a lot smaller office properties that have gone through this transition over the past 20 years of going into residential. And that's really what we've seen a lot of, you know, the real estate market move in Nashville area, you know, going to that downtown area into these condos.
So I was going to say, when you say residential, that means condos, and you said $800,000 a piece. Is that what you would be talking about?
If we're looking at a $250 million redevelopment cost, yeah, it comes out to about $800,000 a piece for 300 units.
And how big would that unit be? Do you have any idea?
We have no idea. But, you know, it really is, goes to show you that I think that $250 million figure tells us a couple of things. One is that, you know, this isn't a building that went dark a few years ago. It's been vacant since 2002. So this long-term vacancy has really made the cost of redevelopment really, really high. And the other part being that, you know, when we look at who can actually afford these kinds of units, you know, it's going to have to either be fueled by a lot of new growth in the city, or there has to be some kind of, you know, subsidy or tax abatement that's ultimately going to bring the cost of these units down.
That's what I'm thinking, because I just, it's not if you build it, they will come. I don't know who goes first here. That's got to be very challenging if you're looking at it from an investment standpoint.
Yeah, and this is actually where, if we were to look a little bit further down the road, where the River District Investment Project, mm-hmm. if that succeeds, it's really going to tell us a little bit about the feasibility of redeveloping the Plaza Tower. You know, there's a lot that the city can do to support this, but there's a lot more that just the local economic development area, developing the local economic area, would actually do to make this project viable.
I would think new office building construction is just off the table. Nobody's considering that, are they?
it is completely off the table. Like I said, you know, it absolutely makes no sense when you have a vacancy rate in office space of about 80%, about 20%, I should say. And so this is really a question where, you know, if you're going to make it work financially, it's probably going to have to be a mixed use or some type of residential property.
Thank you, Professor. Appreciate it. Ali Bustamante, professor in the Department of Economics and Finance at LSU New Orleans. We'll take a break. Talk about LSU basketball. Only 5 players. What? Yeah, we'll talk about that in the Saints as well when we come back.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
Baseball has always been a game of inches. Now, it's also a game of seconds. T-Mobile and MLB have teamed up to bring ABS Challenge to all 29 ballparks across the U.S. This isn't a minor upgrade. This is the most significant new technology in the history of the sport, and it's powered by T-Mobile. With every pitch thrown, ABS Challenge uses real-time precision to verify the call, giving them the support they need. No delays, no guesswork, just accuracy at the speed the game demands. Thanks to ABS Challenge, T-Mobile is helping power the moments that define the game. When performance and reliability are non-negotiable, MLB turns to T-Mobile. That's not a coincidence. That's what happens when the most innovative network in the country powers the most data-driven sport in the world. T-Mobile powers MLB's most ambitious technology, and America's best network powers your connection to baseball, home or away, every pitch, every game, every day. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Major League Baseball trademarks and copyrights are used with permission of Major League Baseball. Visit MLB.com. T-Mobile, best mobile network in the U.S. according to Ookla speed test, based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2026. Ookla trademarks used under license and reprinted with permission.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.